Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to the Steel City Scoop, and today is Friday, October 12th, 2018, and kind of a spur-of-the-moment podcast recording today. We are Steel City Collectibles. We are actually moving buildings, and we are moving a bunch of stuff around. Things are getting unplugged and not plugged in time, and just all kinds of crazy stuff is happening right now. So kind of a spur-of-the-moment recording. Not going to talk a bunch today. We're going to actually play an interview from back in May, but I want to give you a couple of things that are going on. First of all, this morning was actually a guest on the Let Me Get That Potograph podcast with Drew. Got to talk about kind of the rookie card bubble and when it bursts and when you should buy and sell and hold and all that fun stuff. Had a nice little conversation about that, and then some promo cards. And by promo cards, I'm talking, you know, national convention cards. We talked a little bit about the Topps New Era cards that used to be in lid stores and now are available at Major League Baseball stadiums. So nice conversation with Drew. Always get along real well with him, have some good conversations, and he's one of those guys that I think we could just talk for hours about the hobby and just life in general. We always seem to have a really good conversation. So by the time you listen to this, that show will probably be uploaded. We did that this morning, recorded the conversation at least, and then he's going to put all that together for you for his Let Me Get That Potograph episode. I think it might be episode 50. So check that out. Like I said, it's Let Me Get That Potograph with Drew. He was actually my guest last week, so you guys might be familiar with the voice if you're not already. Like I said, episode 50, I believe, is going to have yours truly from the Steel City Scoop on there as a guest. But highly recommend the show. He's one of the ones that I always listen to. I always catch some podcasts that I listen to. I kind of skip depending on the topic, but he's one. Had a good relationship with him for a while, so he's one that I always check out just because I think the topics he has are interesting and very relevant to collectors in general. So check that one out. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like us on Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is at SCC Trading Cards. Like us on Facebook. Check out the Steel City Scoop blog. Get all your information there. And if you sign up as a subscriber, you'll get email notifications every time we post something. So basically, the news comes to you. Make it very easy for you. Post, we'll say 1 to 4. I know that's kind of a wide range, but 1 to 4 articles a day. Just kind of depends on what's going on in the hobby and what's new. And if the news comes to us, then we post it. So it kind of depends on what's happening and how busy of a day it is as to how many articles get posted to the blog. So check that out as well. But this interview today is actually from May 2018, and this actually was recorded before the Steel City Scoop podcast actually started. The guy's name goes by Vegas Dave. I don't even want to try to pronounce his last name. It's Dave Onsea or Onsea or something like that, but most notably known as Vegas Dave. He purchased the 2009 Beckett, I think it's a 9 card grade, 10 autograph grade. It's the Mike Trout Bowman Chrome Autograph Super Fractor. Purchased it supposedly for $400,000, and it was a big story when it happened. But like I said, we did this interview, recorded it, recorded the phone call with him, posted it on SoundCloud, but we did not have the official Steel City Scoop podcast going yet. So I definitely want to get this up, get it in the archive so that if you ever want to listen to it or you know, use it for reference or anything like that, it's in the archives for you. It'll be episode 11, the Vegas Dave interview. like I said, this is from May. He talks about Derek Carr a little bit, Carlos Correa a little bit, his habits as a, I would say, an investor as opposed to a collector. I mean, if you're paying $400,000 for a card, can't really think you're too much of a collector. I think you're putting that away to resell it or flip it later. Does have an impressive collection of Mike Trouts. I've heard some news that he has sold some, but don't know if that's 100% true. He has a few other of the color variations, color parallels from this 2009 Bowman Chrome autograph. So check out his collection online. It's pretty cool just to see the high-end Mike Trout cards all in one place. So you know one person has a handful of them. You know there's a lot of money invested there. So going to do one quick commercial here for you. We're trying to work in a few things to promote our Twitter and some of the contests we have going on. So going to play one of those for you now, and then right after that will be the Vegas Dave interview. So stick around just for a second.
Hey, it's Max, buyer with Steel City Collectibles. If you're looking to sell your collection, sell a few cards, or sell that memorabilia collecting dust in the corner, we are buying. At Steel City Collectibles, we pride ourselves in offering the highest prices paid. We are paying top dollar for all types of items, including unopened boxes and cases, single cards, graded cards, autographs, and pre-1970 complete sets. To get in touch with one of our buyers, visit our website, SteelCityCollectibles.com, and click the We're Always Buying link in the yellow banner at the top of the page. From there, you'll find the contact form to begin the process of selling to Steel City Collectibles. So blow off the dust, clean out the basement, and start making money from your collection today.
Hey football fans, want to win some free stuff? Test your football knowledge and submit your entry into Steel City Collectibles' Guess the Score contest. That's right, every Thursday we're giving away some pretty cool football cards just by guessing the score correctly to the Thursday night NFL game. Check out our Twitter feed and follow us on Twitter at SCC Trading Cards for your chance to win. Find the banner that we post every Thursday to submit your entry. All entries must be submitted by 8 p.m. Eastern. Good luck, and may the best football fan win. Trout purchase, because that's the big news right now. So, I mean, obviously you bought the 2009 Bowman Mike Trout Super Fractor autograph, $400,000. So I know that you have other Trouts. You've got a handful of other colors, red, oranges, and all that from 2009 as well. So how long had you had your eye on this one particular card?
Well, I just started the industry a year ago. It was because, you know, I'm very open about my lawsuit. I have a lawsuit with the casinos of them not paying me money. They owe me millions of dollars for sports bets. And actually, it'll be announced next week that we have settled, and I'm not going to jail, just like I told everyone, and I won my case, and it's settled. However, the judge said while I was going through litigation, I'm still able to bet in Las Vegas, but none of the casinos wanted my bets. They all banned me because I won too much money. So I wanted to get back into something which was kind of gambling tied to sports. And as a child, I was buying and flipping baseball cards back in the day with the 90 Lee Frank Thomases and, you know, 86 Don Russ with Canseco back in the day.
Right.
And my buddy was telling me, he's like, sports cards are back, you know. And I still had, like, old cards like Jordan 101, 86 Fleer Wax Box, stuff like that. I actually sold the Wax Box to Evan Mathis, believe it or not, the guy that sold the Mantle. But sports, I go all in with a couple players, and he said the best player, I said, if you could pick anybody to invest in, he said it'd be Trout. But he said Trout prices are pretty high, but you'll never be able to find his best cards, you know, the Super, the Reds, the Oranges, and then
right.
I started getting into them, and I saw the Super a year ago, right, a month when I started the industry, and I put a bid on it for $200, and I would have paid probably $300 or $400, but the guy said it's not for sale, so he took it off. He was pretty much showboating it last year.
So
that was the first time I saw it. In the meantime, I bought the other cards. Then last week. I saw it up there by accident. I just right. bought it.
So how many offers did you ever put in with the original seller? Just the one?
I put one offer in for, I think I put 300, and he wrote back, and he wrote the same answer back to everybody because I talked to other big buyers.
Gotcha.
He says, I think it's worth 400. So where most people thought about nickel and dime, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do 350. And I was like, you know what, screw it. Like, to me, this is a $5 billion card. I'm not greedy. Why am I going to, you know, penny pinch over the 60, 70 grand? I just hit the bin, you know, and I bought it. And we were good, and he said he'll have his English isn't good. He'll have his brother call me, and his brother called me. But, of course, when all the haters online found out it was me and they're mad I'm hoarding the market, they wrote to him and said, oh, Vegas Dave, he sells fake cards, this, this, and that, you know, try to, you know, cock block the deal. And so the brother wrote to me. He's like, oh, we didn't know you were Vegas Dave. We have no problem with you, but because so many dealers are saying that you sell fake cards, we're kind of skeptical. My brother's afraid that he's going to show up from Taiwan, and you won't even be here. And I'm like, man, I'm a very straight-up businessman. You can't believe anything you hear online. Here's what I'll do. So I put a little bit of money in his bank account to show proof.
Right.
It was non-refundable. So he could have screwed me. I said, you can screw me over if you want, but this is the type of person I am. So I put money in his bank account. They saw that. They're like, wow. And I said, I'll even pay for half your ticket from Taiwan. He flew down. I honored my word, and he said it was the easiest deal he's ever done in his life.
Honestly, that's good to hear because even for them to be skeptical of you, that's a stretch. I mean, there's a lot of publicity in this card, regardless of if you would have bought it or if it had, the deal had fallen through, you're going to get publicity either way. So mm-hmm. I feel like that was a stretch on you, and, you know, I'm glad everything worked out. And it was quick, too. It seemed like it was within 24, 48 hours you had the card.
Yeah, it was quick. I said, listen, I got the money, blah, blah, blah. I said, we'll do whatever you feel comfortable with, whatever you're comfortable with. He said, pick the bank. I said, the bank owner knows me, the manager. I mean, I do big deal drops every single week there. He walked in. He felt comfortable that everyone shook my hand. All the bank people at the bank knew me. And we did the transaction, and it was in and out. I videotaped the whole thing for my YouTube channel. He doesn't like to be on TV, but I did an episode, it'll air this week, where I'm showing my trouts that I'm going to go meet a guy from Taiwan. They show me pulling up in my Ferrari to the bank. They had me walking in, and we cut it off there because he didn't want to be seen. And then me walking out with the trout, taking that picture that Beckett posted, and then off for the day. So I videotaped the whole thing because I wanted to have that content saved. I think that'll be a good video for the baseball card community.
Well, definitely. That's an awesome thing because that's one thing that's popped up over the last few years with all the box breaks and everything like that is the video content, and that stuff gets a lot of hits, and I know you're familiar with that already, but video is
key. Yeah, and the great thing about I asked about the history of the card, so this, you know, this is interesting for some people. His brother pulled it out of a wax pack.
Which, and that's kind of what we had figured all along, but being that it was a Taiwan collector or owner, it was hard to get to, you know. So
I because everyone was like, oh, I wanted to find the history because I want to find the other reds.
Right.
And the rumor was he has two reds in Taiwan, and it's not true. He said, I sold the red and orange 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I said, I'll give you a finder's fee and you can find me the other reds, you know, because I'm trying to get all of them. And he's like, my brother pulled this card out of a pack in 2008, 2009. And I said, did you know it was going to be good? He goes, well, we saw it said one-on-one. So we decided to keep that one. We never knew Mike Trout would be good. And he had his brother interpreting this to me because he couldn't speak any English. And he said his brother pulled it out. And I said, why are you selling this card now? And he just said, the time is right now. And, I'm the total opposite. I can't believe he's selling the card.
I mean, it's one of those things where how much money, you know, or how that amount of money can affect one person. And I'm sure a lot of the normal collectors are going to say, well, you know, I would sell it all day long. But until you have it, you don't really know. You don't really know what you would do.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote to me, and they're like, that's a genius buy. You know, I offer $250. But I would have paid it. I said, to me, that's bullshit. Everyone had the opportunity to buy it now. I'm the only one that had the balls and the vision to do it. I was lucky because a lot of dealers told me, like, they have big high-end people that would have bought that car for $500, but they don't follow eBay. You know, they follow the big auction houses, and,
right.
you know, they never thought about it. But it's also with marketing, because a lot of people said, just by you buying the car, Dave, it's going to go up, because I know how to market it and advertise it. So when I market it, 70% are going to talk shit and hate. The other 30% is like, oh, you're a genius, and you have a good vision in business. So either or, good people or bad things that are said about – good or bad things said about me is still free publicity for me. So, I mean, that's how – by me advertising and pushing so hard on my social media, that's why I need a $1 million offer and a $1.2 million offer 2 days later. Power social media, where he's in Taiwan, doesn't put it on a big auction board, and he doesn't speak English, so he can't market it on social media where I have a big network.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you look at some of the big card sales in history, you know, with the Honus Wagner, this, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but you know, the Honus Wagner that sold years ago was, it's still known as the Gretzky McNall Wagner, because they were the ones that bought it years ago, and it's been 20, 25 years. So this might become, you know, the Vegas Dave might trout super factor. So, I mean, definitely a noteworthy owner will increase the value instantly.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe it, like I said, and I don't want to sell it. You know, most people would flip for $800,000 in a day, right? Not me. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't need the money. I just want the card.
So I have a couple other questions for you before we go into, you know, some of the other things we want to talk about. Just real
sure.
quick, so you do – you collect cards, and I've seen that you had Correa and you have other Trout, you know, different color borders and all that. Have you ever considered anything else besides cards, like memorabilia, bats, balls, anything like that?
No. I don't like that. I sold all my Correas too. So, you know, I bought all the Correas. I had 2 out of the 5 reds, 15 out of the 25 oranges, and I sold them all last week because, you know, I'm not racist at all. I just follow, you know, I follow the industry, and I know it's very hard for Puerto Ricans and people with dark skin for their values to go up. Someone taught me that a year ago, and I was like, I started studying it, and it's true. You know, it's unfortunate most players – in baseball and football, that if you're white and Caucasian, the prices go up. And I never thought about that. So that's why I said I'm so invested in Correa. You know, I sold all my cards for close to $300,000 this past week, all my Correas. So, you know, and someone bought them all, and I sold all my Glibers, you know, as soon as he hit those home runs. So I'm completely vested in two people, which is Mike Trout and Derek Carr. And I'm very heavy on Derek Carr. I have $1 million in Derek Carr. Like, there's 15 national treasures. I have 9.5 tens. I have 13 of them. You know, so the type of person I am, I go to control the market. It's a business for me. I leverage the business because I control the supply and demand. Out of like 8 101s, I have 6 of them. You know, so I totally believe when the Raiders moved to Vegas, it'd be the biggest thing in sports history. I'm already 3 years ahead of the game. Anything when they move to Vegas can be huge. But you have to understand, from me learning already in the first year of sports, why is Dak Prescott and all these other cards worth a lot after one of our seasons? Because he's on a big market team, right? Dallas,
right.
The Giants, the Raiders. When the Raiders move to Vegas, it can be huge. Then you got Derek Carr, who's white, Catholic, Christian. He's a good guy. He's not going to get into drugs or trouble, anything like that. Big market team. Players will sign for cheaper because of the tax break. And they're going to be good, and Gruden's a winner. It's a no-brainer for me, but people don't think 3 years in advance like I do.
I mean, I can't argue with you. You do make some valid points, especially, you know, looking ahead to that prospecting in general. I mean, that's what everybody does now, just on a smaller scale. You're just investing a lot more money than most people can, but also at the same time, like you said, you're cornering that market. And
yeah, I have a lot of big dealers that write to me, and like you're a genius, you know, buying the market. It's supply and demand.
Right.
If there's 25 oranges and you have 15 of those 25 Koreas, you control the market because the
Absolutely.
Other 10 are in personal collections. You'll never see them. So when I go after a player, I don't just buy the one. I buy all of them. and that's what I do. And I sit on them. And then when I sell the car, like when I sold all my Gliber reds and oranges,
right,
I sell them as a lot. I don't piece them one by one. Do you want Glibers or Correas? You have to buy all the reds, all the oranges, and, then at the same token, they now leverage the market. They control the market.
True.
And that's how I, you know, so all I'm sitting now is on trout and car, and that's it, trout and car.
So you mentioned, you know, 1990 Leaf and all that and collecting of the trouts. Who were some of your favorites of the trout, favorite players?
I used to be heavy in the 86 Fleer, so Jordan, and I had a couple of 101 in the bags back in the day, but, you know, I sold them when I was in high school to buy a car. You know, I used to do trade shows when I was 9, 10 years old. I used to actually be the guy that rented a Holiday Inn, rented the tables. I was always an entrepreneur. I was making good money as a 12-year-old kid, flipping cards, running table shows, and then I got out because when you get 16, 17, you start focusing on partying and chasing girls and money. You know, your priorities change when you're a teenager. And then I just kind of got out of the market as I got older. Then recently just got back into it. And I was fortunate enough, you know, to get what I got. But I was very, very aggressive. You know, everyone out there had the same opportunity as me. There's people out there that's been dealing cards for 20 years, and they're upset with me that I bought the market. But they had 20 years to do this. Why can I do it in 8 months, 12 months? It's just, I'm just more aggressive.
So you mentioned, and I thought I heard you correctly, that Evan Mathis bought your 86, 87 Fleer unopened box?
Mm-hmm. I sold it to him.
So I'm just curious how that deal came. You don't have to mention numbers or anything like that.
Oh, No. Evan followed me on social media, and I predicted the Broncos would win the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
Where I put a little over $100,000, went $2.3 million. And I posted some of my stuff, and he wrote to me, and we stayed in touch. I was front row a lot of the games. He came and said hello, and then I told him when I'm ever ready to sell my cars, I'll reach out to him. And I sold him my 86 Fleer box 8 months ago, 7 months ago.
Right.
And he
yeah.
just messaged me. He messaged me the other day, like, did you buy the Super? And I'm like, yeah.
Being that you are a trout collector and investor, and obviously there's another big name on that team right now with Ohtani, what are your thoughts on Ohtani? Is that somebody that you would ever invest in? I know
no.
you said earlier, but
no.
Not
it's all hype. People want to pay $75,000 to $100,000 for his card. Guy has approved himself. Just because he's big in the Asian market, he can do two things, pitch and hit. But again, in order to make big money in the industry, you got to be able to hit the long ball. He's not going to hit 40, 50 home runs a year, and he'll never do that because he can't play every day. He plays every third or fourth day.
Right. He's not going to get enough.
He can only do this for so long, and he's not going to be a career 300 hitter, 30, 40 home runs, so it's only going to go down. If someone's willing to pay and blow up card forms, it blows my mind. These guys are experts, been doing this for years. You're going to pay $100,000 for that card? I'd rather pay $100,000 for an orange trout, because that thing's going to be worth $300 or $400 in 10 years. It makes no sense. They all follow the hype. I told everyone last year, Aaron Judge is not going to hit 330 and 60 home runs for the rest of his life. People could have bought the red, sold the red for 70, 80 grand, the Super 400. You know, no one's paying 70, 80 grand for the reds now. His hype is gone, but Trout
yeah,
is always
definitely.
Consistent. Everyone gets to the next quick buck thing. It makes no sense. And so Judge last year, Ohtani this year, it was the Kuna. I mean, people paying 50, 60 grand for Acunas? He plays for the Braves.
Well, not only that, it's, you know, a month into the season, so.
And all I tell people that are listening to this, stop trying to make the quick buck. If you're going to spend 50, 60 G's on Acuna or Ohtani, buy Trout.
I agree with you 100%. No question about that. So let's talk about the Jordan PSA card. I told
sure.
you I would give you complete open form, whatever you wanted to say and explain your story and how everything went down. So,
sure, absolutely. You know, and I've never gotten to tell my side of the story, and I always knew I was good, so I didn't really care, but I like to address it. So what happened was the first person who I bought the red trout, the first deal I did, I was introduced to a guy named David Park, who's a dentist in California. He had the red trout, an orange trout, and a bunch of Correas and some Glibers, and we did a deal. He didn't even know me. He drove down to Vegas with his son, Andrew, and we did a deal for $330,000 cash. handed him in a duffel bag. Never knew me. I met him at a Starbucks, handed him the money. Good deal. Shows the integrity, the honesty that he trusted me and I trusted him. And, you know, at the time, he had bought the trout for $70,000 the red. He sold it for well over $100,000 profit. And rumors went around that I'm an idiot. I just spent $330,000 on Kreas, Glibers, and Trouts a year ago, and that he overcharged me, which was fine because I just wanted the cards. Because everyone said the red trout I'll never find. We could. He's the other guy that helped me get the other five orange trouts. So, like, orange trout was about $30,000 last year. He was selling them. He would get them from his friends and get them and sell them to me at $60,000 to $100,000 a piece. Yes, I knew I was paying double and triple. Yes, I knew he was making $20,000 to $50,000 a card off me. I didn't care because I was playing the long-term game. I wanted the cards. And right now the orange cards are at least worth $100,000, so my vision was right. So we did a lot of deals together. He looked at my cards. He goes, I really want it. I want this Jordan you have. He looked at it in person, okay? And how I got the Jordan is that when I started on social media a year ago that I'm buying cards, someone messaged me and said, hey, I have an 86 clear Jordan. The guy's really sick. I'm selling it for him for like $15,000 or $16,000. So I met the guy. He worked through email with me. He met me at a breakfast shop. He sold me the card. Great. I was stoked. I posted on social media like, hey, Jordan rookie, Curry rookie.
Right.
I was proud of my collection. I started it a month ago. Yeah, I'm not a professional. I was an amateur. I just started. If it was a fake card, why would I post it intentionally on social media? It makes no sense. Now, other people are like, oh, because I don't read the comments on my social media. Someone does it for me. I have a million followers. 80% are negative comments, 20% are always positive. I don't have time to chat with my haters, right?
Absolutely.
So I guess it turns out that people are like, oh, it's a fake card. It's a fake card. But they also said that about my Curry. They also say that when I win $1 million on sports bet, they're fake tickets. Everyone has negative stuff to say. When they're jealous, they say it's fake, it's not true, or my Ferraris are leased, or my villa is a rental, it's not owned. Like, people always talk shit and say negative stuff.
Well, especially with that card in that slab, why would you think it's fake?
Yeah, and I advertised it. And just because some people commented it's fake, they expect me to read the comments like, okay, Buster69 on Instagram said it's fake, so it must be fake. I should take it out. No, I just left it up there because I don't read the comments.
Absolutely.
And if you look at my other cards I posted a red trout when I first got it. People are like, oh, it's fake. Oh, it's fake. So, you know, like, everyone says negative stuff when they're jealous. So I just didn't pay attention to it. David came down and looked at the card. He's like, I really want this card. So here's what happened. He sold me an orange trout, which was almost perfect. It has like 210 subs. And he's like, I want $100,000 for it, even though it was the 30 at the time. So I gave him like $80,000 cash, the Curry that he posted, and the Jordan. And I gave the Jordan for only $15,000 for the same price I paid for in a trade. So realistically, even if the Jordan was fake, he still got $110,000 for a $30,000 car.
Okay.
He still made out. So
right.
Regardless, that's not an excuse. So he's all happy. He's a professional sports guy. He studies cards. His son studies cards. They had the card in the possession for a month. Then he goes to the Nationals, and he was looking for cards for me. I was going to give him money. We were on great terms. He was like a friend of mine. Like, anytime you do business for $500,000 in cash, you consider that person your friend. You trust. You have mutual trust and respect for each other, you know?
No doubt.
So he goes to the show. I guess he went to get it re-slapped, and he was embarrassed because PSA made a mockery, like, oh, my God, this is fake, David, blah, 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 blah. But I got all the text messages from I'm working, and he was like, hey, man, that PSA Jordan you gave me, PSA said it's fake. I need to know the contact person who you got it from. I can screenshot all this stuff. And I said, okay, dude, I'm in the middle of a meeting right now. When I get home, let me track down the email conversation I got, and I'll forward you the information. Not a problem.
Okay.
10 minutes later, he's blowing me up again, and he's like, I need it now. I'm like, look, dude, I'm in a meeting right now, but as soon as I get home, I will get you his information. So when I got home 2 hours later, I tracked down, you know, I searched for Jordan rookie. I found the guy's email address, and I CC'd him, and I said, David is the owner of the card you gave me. He's saying it's fake. We need to resolve this. I have all this. I went out of my way to track the guy down. And then 15 minutes later, David had told everyone at the shop that I gave him the fake Jordan. It's intentional, and that I might have re-slabbed it, and like just made a total bullshit lie about me. And I was like, how could you do that to me when I'm actively trying to help you? And you know I don't re-slab cards. And why? And you know, even if I bought a fake Jordan, I wouldn't even know it was fake. And why would I give you a fake card knowing it was fake? It makes no sense. And then an hour later, he sent me a text message saying he was embarrassed at the show. He overreacted. And he apologizes if we could work it out. And I'm just like, go fuck off. You know, you just totally blasted my name. You totally spread false rumors about me. And you said you're over emotional. Now you want us to be cool? I just blocked his number, never talked to him again. And because I declined to speak about it, people just thought I was guilty, which is not the truth.
Which is, that's completely unfair to you, because even saying that you're an amateur collector, investor, buyer is even not the right terminology when you're paying that much for cards. But I would say probably 85-90% of the collectors out there, if a card's in a PSA slab, to them, it's genuine.
I just believe it.
Right. Why would you not?
You know, when he gave me the Jordan, I mean, when he gave me the red trout and the 5-6 oranges I bought of him, the trouts, I didn't send it in for – I just believed him, you know? How am I supposed to know?
Right. And I would be in the same boat that you're in. I mean, I would never question it.
Yeah, and then he's had it for a month and a half, and then he takes it to the show, and he was embarrassed. And then he just – I got emails from him saying, help me find this guy. Thanks, buddy. And I did. I looped him in. And because the guy wouldn't respond to him, he attacked me on social media.
Do you know, did he ever offer any sort of public comment or anything like that?
Well, of course. The sheet that he told everybody.
I'm talking like a public kind of apology like he gave to you as, hey, I overreacted. You know,
no, but I got the screenshot of the text. It says, I know, you know, I'm not like this. You know, I don't want controversy. Is there anything that we can do to work it out? Fine. I go, this after you slandered my name all over the chat boards, like the next day I have like 100 messages saying I'm a scammer. Like you totally ruined my, you know, like added fire to my, you know, to my name. Like, and I was offended because, dude, I've done $500,000 in cash deals with you. $500,000 in cash to you. We didn't even know each other. 4 or 5 different times I flew to L.A. with cash, handed money, and left. Why do you think I'm going to give you a fake Michael Jordan card?
Well, especially when you're talking $500,000 and only $15,000 of that is one card. I mean, you're not even talking 10% of that whole amount of all your transactions together.
And he fails to say that he gave me a $30,000 card worth for $100,010 in trade, $80,000 cash, and the highest graded Steph Curry that I bought from another guy on the internet. That could have been fake too. How would I know, you know? But the
right.
Curry was real. The Jordan was, and he's a big card buyer. He had the card for a month. How come he didn't know it was fake if he had it for a month?
How do I
know that he didn't take it out of a slab and do it and just screw me over? Who knows? Anything could have happened that month when he had the card.
I mean, honestly, that's a valid point with the amount of time that he had, you know, and I'm not trying to say anything about
it. I'm not accusing him of that either, but who knows what happened that month.
Right.
And when he asked me, he said, hey, I'm embarrassed at PSA. I need your – he didn't ask me for money back. He goes, I need your help to contact the guy that sold you this. And I said, let me finish my day at work. I'm almost done. And when I got home, I got the information, the email. I emailed the guy back and CC'd David – park on it and said, David is the owner of this card now that you gave to me. He's at the Nationals and he says it's fake. We need to resolve this. I did what he asked for.
Right. Do you know, did you ever have any contact with that previous owner of the card?
No, he never replied, probably because he knew it was fake.
True. This was curious. If you
got on his truth. I mean, anyone that's done business with me, I mean, for me to buy over $1 million, actually with cards, $2 million in cards, some on eBay, some cash and carry, don't you think someone else would be like, hey, Vegas, they did a deal and he robbed me for $50, $100,000? Anyone I've ever done business with, I'm on point, I'm extra generous, I pay for their flight, cash and carry, the money is to the T, good business practices. Only the haters and the little hobby collectors that are jealous will ride the bandwagon to talk shit. Cause that's what people do. They hate when they're miserable or they can't be like someone else. And that's it. That's why I never replied to anybody, because it was just a waste of time. You can't win. And the reason why I turned out so many interviews, and I told you I picked you, is that what I realized in this industry, and it's kind of embarrassing to be in this industry. I've been in it for less than a year. It's a bunch of grown adults that act like they're in high school.
Gossip,
chatter, hating. And I look at these people like, man, you're a 50-year-old grown man with a child. What kind of examples are you setting for your children?
Right.
Like, if you're 50 and you're hating on me and talking shit about me and spreading false rumors about me, what are you values are you teaching your children? Like, I'm just so disgusted by the industry. Now, they're all in every industry, there's good and bad, you know, anything in the world. But there's a lot of jealous. Now, if you're 16, cool, you're in high school. But these are grown adults with children. It blows my mind that they can be so negative and spread false rumors.
And
it blows my mind. It's a big, high school thing.
You know, the thing with everything is people like to complain a lot quicker than they like to give positive comments. And, you know, unfortunately for you, I think, you know, that obviously happened to you. But I think as soon as the Trout news came out, everybody just assumed, oh, this guy's a bad guy. And I had no opinion of you prior to any of this. And once I saw how fast the Trout transaction happened, and talking with you today and what happened this morning with us, dude, I have a ton of respect for you, and especially how fast that transaction happened.
I'm a businessman, and I'm honest.
It was awesome.
Listen, I make good money. Why? Because I'm honest with money. I don't screw people over. I have ethics, and you don't become a multimillionaire by pulling scams. You do it by good business practices. And anyone that has a conversation with me or meets me face-to-face is like, wow. But it's the people that don't know me that prejudge and like to ride the bandwagon.
I would agree with you. So I do have one more question for you, and then we'll be done. So you have the Trout one of one. You have some of the reds, some of the oranges, and I know that's an ongoing pursuit, but anybody in your mind or any cards in your eyesight that you're trying to get a hold of?
There's only one other card, and it would just be for my personal use, would be the Derek Carr Shield. I know the grade is low, like a 9. That's probably the only other card I would look for. I'm not interested in anybody else. I would take more orange trouts if there are any out there.
Right.
But just a Derek Carr Shield. But that's about it. I'm pretty much done buying. I just want to be heavy. I go all in with one or two players, and that's what I do. I don't want to diversify to everyone else because, you know, I have my reasons for those two people. Trout, to me, will go down as the best player in modern-day history, and I think Carr's going to win a Super Bowl, and when the Raiders move to Vegas, it'll be the biggest thing that ever happened in sports. And that's my vision, so I'm all in with those two people.
I mean, this is definitely an awesome story, and, you know, talking to you, and I've made a couple comments already, you know, I think the card is in good hands, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. You know, how long down the road, you know, it changes hands maybe, and what that price is at that time. So, Dave, I appreciate the time. I appreciate you rescheduling with me and getting to me. If there's anything else you want to say, let me know, or anything else you
want to say. No, if you want to, like I said, if people hear this and you want to follow up, no problem. Even nothing but professional. I'm always willing to talk to the right people. It's just I want to talk to the right people. I'm not trying to talk to people that are going to attack me and prejudge me. I just need people to have an open mind because real recognizes real. Anyone that talks to me and knows me, if you have any common sense after listening to this interview, if I've done millions of dollars of transactions and I was a scumbag crook, I would have a million complaints.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, keep me posted. Let me know if you need anything else. And then thanks for speaking to me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. It's been awesome. And, you know, maybe we'll talk again in the future. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, I appreciate you sticking around and listening to that interview with Vegas Dave. Like I said, we did do that in May. I just wanted to kind of put it in the archive so that it was there, and it kind of gave me a chance to work with this up-in-the-air schedule that we have going on with moving buildings here for Steel City Collectibles. So, like I said, appreciate you listening to the interview. Stick around for next week. I'm not sure what we're going to do. We've got a busy couple of days coming up, so I'm not sure if I'm going to do a podcast early or skip a week. So just kind of stay tuned for that. And then, like I said earlier in the show, stay tuned for the latest episode of Let Me Get That Podograph with Drew. That podcast featuring yours truly should be posted maybe by the time you hear this or at least later today. I checked just a little bit ago and it's not up yet. So that was right around 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday, October 12th. So I would say by the end of the day, it should be posted and you can listen to it. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you thought. Always have a good time talking to Drew. And like I said, stay tuned for next week. We'll see what's going on. If I can get a guest on short notice or if we're just going to bypass next week and go, that would be October 26th. So we'll see what's going on. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter, SCC Trading Cards, Instagram, SCC Trading Cards. And as always, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the blog, and subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. I appreciate everybody listening today. Have a great weekend. And if you are in Chantilly this weekend, I know we have some people down there at the show. Stop by the booth, say hi, take a couple pictures. If you hit anything big, post them to Instagram or Twitter and tag us, SCC Trading Cards, of course. But other than that, have a great weekend. Enjoy the football games coming up. A big game Sunday night, Chiefs and the Patriots. I personally think the Patriots might take this one, but we will see. So enjoy the weekend, and we will, I guess, be in touch next week. Thanks, guys.